amazing love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
How well do you see? Is your vision 2020, 2040, 2030? You know, we say we can see, but we do not see. We say we can hear, but we do not hear. We miss the things most important in life because our vision is so narrow. We're so short-sighted. Oh, how the Father yearns for His children to truly see. Reading from Matthew's 7th chapter. Don't criticize, then you will be criticized, for others will treat you as you treat them. And why worry about a speck in the eye of a brother when you have a board in your own? Should you say, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck, when you can't even see because of the board in your own? Hypocrite, first get rid of the board, then you can see to help your brother. It's so easy to see the faults in others. And many times God is showing us those faults to have us reflect on our own lives. Sometimes the thing we're most critical about in someone close to us, we have that same problem ourselves. Maybe the child that's the most like us. The child that has the same disposition, maybe even looks the most similar. And we see our own shortcomings in that child. And we tend to be the hardest on that child because we see ourselves. The hope of the gospel is that we can change. But the change comes when we acknowledge our sin and we go to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I know I've been created in your image and likeness, and I know that by your Holy Spirit you're changing me. And I'm really tired of acting this way, whether it be grumpy, crabby, critical spirit, or one who provokes others to anger. Whatever the sin might be, we have to see that we do sin and that it's a chronic problem and not try to cover it over and rationalize it. How can I help my brother? Because the way I relate to others is through my own stuff, through my own patterns of behavior. I really can't see someone else's problems when everything I relate to is filtered through my own. Oh, we need the heavenly eye doctor to come down and help us remove the board from our own eye. There are none as blind as those who say they can see but cannot. And sometimes we prefer, you've heard the term, rose-colored glasses. Now it's wonderful to be an encourager, but sometimes we choose to see things the way we want to see things and not in reality and truth. We cover things over and make believe things are different to make them more acceptable, to make our behavior more acceptable, to make a situation more comfortable to live with. But it is those filters, those distortions of truth and reality that keep us from our deliverance and healing. Jesus is the truth. He's the ultimate truth. Not that we hold our lives up to others, but to Jesus. Because He's the reflection of the Father. So I have to give up. If I really want to be conformed in His image and likeness, I have to give up my filters, my excuses, my sins that I rationalize, and be willing to come to a knowledge of the truth to be healed. And in the healing, in the freedom, in the deliverance, I can become that transparent person who can really help others because I've already dealt with my own problems. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's life. Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. So for me to be truly alive, I have to walk in truth. And truth is not always comfortable, but there is freedom in it. Reading from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 22nd verse. If your eye is pure, there will be sunshine in your soul. And if your eye is clouded with evil thoughts and desires, you are in deep spiritual darkness. And oh, how deep the darkness cannot be. Our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will. So much going on beneath the surface, many times of our conscious mind. Undealt with conflict. Undealt with anger. Those things that we just have not come to grips with. And many times as Christians, because we know we're supposed to be loving and forgiving, we walk in unreality and we do not deal with our anger. The word says that be angry but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it set on your anger. It does give the devil a foothold. So denying our resentment, anger, and unforgiveness and jealousies, very detrimental to our spiritual walk. And we really have to pray and just pray and say, oh, Holy Spirit, bring to the surface any undealt with sin in my life. Bring it to the sunshine of the Father's love, that I might turn from it, that I might be healed. Bitterness, depression affects our body. And we wonder why many times we have illness in our body. I'm not saying that all illness is from that, but much of what we suffer from is from stress. Suppressed emotions. Because we know we're not supposed to act in a particular way, so therefore we go into denial and don't face the reality of our humanity. And Jesus, who was totally human yet totally divine, was tempted in every way, yet he sinned not, but he ever lives to intercede for you and for me. And by the power of the Spirit, we can be changed from glory to glory as we acknowledge our sin, as we turn from that sin, as we are cleansed from our sin. The likeness of Jesus is formed in our life. Not to discourage us when we come to the reality of our own faults, but to acknowledge the fact that we are human, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due season we will be exalted, to walk in truth and walk in reality, to be healed in our mind, in our emotions, in our will, to bring every thought captive to the tearing down of strongholds in our mind, to have a sound mind, no confusion, free from fear, free from guilt, transparent before others and before God, knowing that we're living in His presence, that God sees everything, knows everything. Not compartmentalized, doing one thing to please one person and then turning around and becoming something else to please someone else. Integrated in our personality. Pleasing God first. And as far as possible, living at peace with all men. But not compromising truth. Being 100%. Not afraid of being found out or contradictions in our life. Living freely. Living purely. Healed and whole. to be changed, to be pleasing unto God, to reflect His glory. The desire of our hearts, not to be hindered by our old bad habits. Why are bad habits so easy to accumulate, and good ones and disciplines so difficult? I don't know, but it just seems easier to fall into negative patterns of behavior than good patterns. But the Lord, through His Word, encourages us on to the higher ways that He has for us. Reading from Matthew's 7th chapter. This is the Blessing Version. So easy to understand. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, "Let me wash your face for you," when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling road show mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Well, that puts it in English and language that we can't miss. Looking into the Word of God, it's a mirror to our soul, to be what God has created us to be. Self-help books only work for a short season, maybe a day or two. Same with tapes. But the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, it's a life-changing experience, going on until we see Jesus and we're transformed in Him. And isn't that wonderful? That when we set our mind to that which God has called us to do, the Holy Spirit will cooperate with that. And He promises to present us faultless before the glory of God. Do you want to change? I want to. Sometimes our friends pick out our faults or weaknesses or our children. Immediately we become defensive. Someone said, "All truth is accepted in the negative first." No, I don't do that. I didn't say that. I don't have that attitude. Sometimes we notice the failure of others in addictive behavior, whether it's cigarettes, food, and yet within ourselves we have that same addictive behavior, but it just doesn't show. Before we criticize others, to ask the Lord if there be any wicked way within us. There are so many games that we play to cover up guilt and anger. We don't want to handle our emotions, but the emotions come out. It's not so much what happens to us, but how do we respond to what happens to us? It's the anger. And sometimes suppressed because we are Christians and we know that we're not supposed to be angry, and yet the Word of God says, "Be angry, but sin not." Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let bitterness grow. And there's no healing for that anger unless I face the fact that I've been wounded and that I am angry. To get in touch with what's really happening in my life and not to be superficial. And ask the Holy Spirit to shine His light upon my soul that I might address those problems. They don't go away because I don't acknowledge them. They're just under the surface. And they will act out. My behavior will show that. And I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, do you? The Message Version says, "Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have." Distrust, because we've been wounded, because we've been betrayed, and many times because our own behavior is not proper, because we've done things that we shouldn't have done, we feel guilty. We know we project on other people how we would act in a particular circumstance. We think they're lying, they're greedy. So observe how you criticize, what type of behavior bothers you, and then look within yourself and see if that seed is not within you. There's a saying, you become what you hate. Be careful what you hate. Ask God why you hate it. The mercy you measure out is the mercy you receive. Whatever we sow, we reap. I want to know God's goodness in the land of the living, don't you? I want to stand in His blessings. I want to come to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want to be transformed from glory to glory, from victory to victory. I want my latter days to be better than my former days. I want to change.
Sometimes it's hard to understand the reasons why. Isn't there some way I can save a piece of me? Isn't there somehow you can take this cup from me? Lord, I hear you whispering that this is how. Hold me close.
goodbye to me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pray that prayer and it would be over with? But we have to pick up our cross daily. Make that decision daily, moment by moment. There are so many occasions during the day that we can choose God's way or our way, sometimes moment by moment. But walking in truth and reality, at least I can know the difference when I am making those decisions. That we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. To desire to walk the love walk. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love doesn't even notice when others do it wrong. Well, until we reach that place spiritually, we have to acknowledge the fact that we are hurt, we are wounded, we do feel rejected, and we are offended. Until we reach that point in God. What do we do with those feelings? Well, we choose to forgive. We choose to repent, and we choose to love. Love is a decision. Forgiveness is a decision. And even forgiving ourselves for the mistakes we've made, the sins we've committed, yes, we do ask God to forgive us. At the same time, we have to let go of that guilt. Guilty people are very difficult people to live with. People who are unhappy with themselves make the people around them miserable. We project just what's going on within us. When we know that God does love us, Jesus really died for our sins, and he knows them all, and we're truthful with ourselves, and we confess them all, and we walk in that forgiveness, we walk in that repentance, and we allow the love of Jesus to come into our souls and to heal us, to transform us, and not to hold on to our sins and not to judge ourselves. Only in the sense that we acknowledge our sin. For there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Who's going to deliver us from that circle of sin and death? Thanks be to God, he shall. He did, and he will. To have that 2020 vision, being careful what goes in our eye gate, it affects your soul. Not to become defiled by the spirit of this world, but to have a clear eye. The divine optometrist can heal and deliver, but he also calls us to be responsible for the gifting he has given us, all because of his amazing love.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.